Well, here in Genesis 16, we have this whole thing about Hagar. In verse 2, Sarai says to Abraham, "See now, Yahweh has restrained me from bearing. Please give in to my handmaid. It may be that I will obtain children by her." And I think it's a recurrent weakness of the patriarchs that they try to force God's hand, especially when it comes to having children and having the blessings of the covenant as they perceive it. And yet, the whole point is that God is going to bless us, and we are to wait upon him and not try to force this through in our own strength. And I think they all fail in this, because as Abraham used his handmaid Hagar to try to get the promised seed, so really that's the mistake that Jacob made when Rachel and Leah had their problems with barrenness later. He slept with their servant girls. Now, you may think that, that's what they did in those days, but actually it wasn't. There's been a discovery of the Nuzi tablets, and about 300 of these tablets that record history, case history of legal situations, legal codes, etc. And it was unheard of to sleep with your wife's slave girl. If somebody had a barren wife, they took a second wife. They did not just sleep with their wife's servant girl. And so the way that Abraham and Jacob later do this is really shocking, even to society of their time. And again, we get the impression that the patriarchs were saved by grace, and that on many points they compare unfavorably to the society around them. And even when you look at Jacob and Esau, Esau comes over as the nicer guy out of the two of them. Abraham and Isaac are not very well contrasted with the Abimelechs, the kings of Egypt, when they go down there and lie about their wives. Those kings, those men, come over as more ethical than the people of God do. But this is the whole theme that's being built up in the Genesis record of the patriarchs, that people are saved by grace, and the family that God chose to save were not saved because of their righteousness. And likewise, the whole way that Abraham and Sarah deal with Hagar is wrong. They always refer to her as the handmaid. It's God who calls her by her name, Hagar, as if God recognized the value of the human person in a way that Abraham and Sarah simply didn't. And it's got to be noted that Israel's later experience sort of relived that of Hagar. They fled into the wilderness of Sinai. They were miraculously provided with water. They were found and preserved by an angel. The idea of God finding Israel in the wilderness is there in Jeremiah 3. God heard the cry of Israel's affliction, just as he heard the cry of Hagar and Ishmael when Sarah was afflicting them. And I think this is all to try to bring out the point that Israel were being made to realize how they had made Hagar feel and what they had done to Ishmael. That's a bit later. But Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. It's very similar to Adam listening to the voice of Eve. And yet, despite all this unspirituality, Hebrews 11 verse 11 says that through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. So, in the midst of all this unspirituality and trusting in human strength, there was this faith element. But the point is that that faith was sandwiched between an awful lot of unspirituality. Now, this should not just make us shrug at our spiritual weaknesses. I think the point is that we are comforted. When you look at yourself and you think, but do I really have faith? Do I really believe? Seeing that my attitudes and behaviors are not as they should be on so many points. Yes, because as the man says to Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God fortunately focuses upon the positive, as the record in Hebrews 11 certainly does with Sarah. She mocked with laughter at the promise in Genesis 18 that she was going to be pregnant. And yet Hebrews 11, verse 11, says that through faith she had that baby. And yet she dealt as she did with with Hagar, and when the angel appears and says, you're going to have a baby, she just laughs at the angel and mocks her husband for being impotent. And yet, wedged in between all that was faith. And all you can say is that we likewise should look at other people in that same positive sort of way. And, you know, her whole attitude to Hagar when she says, I gave my handmaid, she won't call her Hagar, I gave my handmaid into your bosom, and when she saw that she'd conceived, I was despised in her eyes, may Yahweh judge between me and you. This is all so psychologically credible, which is what I love about the biblical record. It's a classic case of transference, transferring her sins and her guilt onto Abraham. I mean, it was her idea, etc. And yet, despite being so mixed up, so human, she has this faith which God noticed. And she is held up later in the New Testament as a pattern for women, particularly, who would believe, just as Abraham is. And yet, they were both so weak. But the point is, they had this faith in the midst of all their weakness. So don't take that as a nod to, be satisfied with a low level of faith. Not at all. But it is a comfort to us in our weakness. And I think it helps us to look positively at others when we discern faith in them, and yet we also discern a lot of unspirituality as well.